Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So 7:24. Avyaktam vyaktim apanam. Avyaktam vyaktim apanam. Manyante mam abudhaya. Manyante mam abudhaya. Parambhavam majananto. Parambhavam majananto. Mama vyayam anuttamam. Mama vyayam anuttamam. Avyaktam vyaktim apannam. Manyante mam abudhayah. Parambhavam ajananto. Mama vyayam. Mama vyayam anuttamam. Avyaktam vyaktim apannam. Manyate mam abudhayah. Parambhavam apa ajananto. Mama vyayam anuttamam. Avyaktam vyaktim apannam. Manyante mam abudhayah. Parambhavam ajananto. Mama vyayam anuttamam. Please repeat. Avyaktam vyaktim apanam. Manyante mam abudhayah. Parambhavam ajananto. Mama vyayam anuttamam. Avyaktam vyaktim apanam. Parambhavam ajananto. Mama vyayam manuttamam. Avyaktam vyaktim apannam. Manante mamma buddhayaha. Parambhavam ajananto. Mama vyayam manuttamam. Avyaktam non-manifested. Vyaktim personality. Apannam achieved. Manyante think. Mam me. Abudhayaha less intelligent persons. Param supreme. Bhavam existence. Ajanantaha without knowing. Mama my. Avyayam imperishable. Anuttamam the finest. Translation by Śrīla Prabhupāda. An intelligent man who do not know me perfectly think that I, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, was impersonal before and have now assumed this personality. Due to their small knowledge, they do not know my higher nature, which is imperishable and supreme. Repeat. An intelligent man who do not know me perfectly think that I, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, was impersonal before and have now assumed this personality. Due to their small knowledge, they do not know my higher nature, which is imperishable and supreme. Okay, purport. Those who are worshippers of demigods have been described as less intelligent persons, and here the impersonalists are similarly described. Okay, this will be later. Because Prabhupada says here about worshippers of demigods and then impersonalists, because then the chapter is divided into a few sections, and previous section of the verses 20 to 23 was about demigod worshippers, and now this section, we begin from the verse 24 till verse 28, this section describes his impersonalists. Well, Lord Krishna in his personal form is here speaking before Arjuna, and still, due to ignorance, impersonalists argue that the Supreme Lord ultimately has no form. Yamunacharya, a great devotee of the Lord in the disciplic succession of Ramanujacharya, has written a very appropriate verse in this connection. He says, Tvam Shilarupa Charitaih Parama Prakrishtaih Satvena Satvikataya Pralai Bishcha Shastraih Prakhyata Deva Paramartha Vidvamatescha Naiva Sura Prakritayah Prabhavanti Bodhum. My dear Lord, devotees like Vyasadeva and Narada know you to be the personality of Godhead. But by understanding different Vedic literatures, one can come to know your characteristics, your form, your activities, and one can thus understand that you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But those who are in the modes of passion and ignorance, the demons, the non-devotees, cannot understand you. They are unable to understand you, however expert such non-devotees may be in discussing Vedanta and Upanishads and other Vedic literatures. It is not possible for them to understand the personality of Godhead. Stotra Ratna 12. In the Brahma Samhita it is stated that the personality of Godhead cannot be understood simply by study of the Vedanta literature. Only by the mercy of the Supreme Lord can the personality of the Supreme be known. Therefore, in this verse it is clearly stated that not only are the worshippers of the demigods less intelligent, but those non-devotees who are engaged in Vedanta and speculation of Vedic literature without any tinge of true Krishna consciousness are also less intelligent. And for them, it is not possible to understand God's personal nature. Persons who are under the impression that the absolute truth is impersonal are described as abuddhaya, which means those who don't know the ultimate feature of the absolute truth. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is stated that supreme realization begins from the impersonal Brahman and then rises to the localized supersoul, but the ultimate word is the absolute truth. In the absolute truth is the personality of Godhead. Modern impersonalists are still less intelligent, for they do not even follow their great predecessor Shankaracharya, who has specifically stated that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Impersonalists, therefore, not knowing the Supreme Truth, think Krishna to be only the son of Devaki and Vasudeva, or a prince, or a powerful living entity. This is also condemned in the Bhagavad Gita 9.11, Avajantimam mudha manushim tanum ashritam. Only the fools regard me as an ordinary person. The fact is that no one can understand Krishna without rendering devotional service and without developing Krishna consciousness. The Bhagavatam 10.14.29 confirms that. Adhapi te deva pada buja dvaya prasada leshanu grita evahi janat Janati tatvam bhagavan mahimno nachanya ekopi chiram vichinvan. My Lord, if one is favored by even a slight trace of the mercy of your lotus feet, he can understand the greatness of your personality. But those who speculate to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead are unable to know you, even though they continue to study the Vedas for many years. One cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, or his form, quality, or name, simply by mental speculation or by discussing Vedic literature. One must understand him by devotional service. When one is fully engaged in Krishna consciousness, beginning by chanting the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, then only can one understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Non-devotee impersonalists think that Krishna has a body made of this material nature and that all his activities, his form and everything are Maya. These impersonalists are known as Mayavadis. They do not know the ultimate truth. The 20th verse clearly states, Kamash Tair Hrita Jananah Prapadyantenya Devataha. Those who are blinded by lusty desires surrender unto the different demigods. It is accepted that beside the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there are demigods who have their different planets, and the Lord also has a planet. As stated in the 23rd verse, Devan Devaya Jo Yantimat Bhaktaya Antimam Api, the worshippers of the demigods go to the different planets of the demigods, and those who are devotees of Lord Krishna go to the Krishna Loka planet. Although this is clearly stated, the foolish impersonalists still maintain that the Lord is formless and that these forms are impositions. From the study of the Gita, does it appear that all that the demigods and their abodes are impersonal? Clearly, neither the demigods nor Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, are impersonal. They are all persons. Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he has his own planet, and the demigods have theirs. Therefore, the monistic contention that ultimate truth is formless and that form is imposed does not hold true. It is clearly stated here that it is not imposed. From the Bhagavad Gita, we can clearly understand that the forms of the demigods and the form of the Supreme Lord are simultaneously existing, and that Lord Krishna is Satchitananda, eternal blissful knowledge. The Vedas also confirm that the Supreme Absolute Truth is Anandamaya Bhyasat, or by nature full of blissful pleasure, and that he is their reservoir of unlimited auspicious qualities. And in the Gita, the Lord says that although he is Aja, unborn, he still appears. These are the facts we should understand from the Bhagavad Gita. We cannot understand how the Supreme Personality of Godhead can be impersonal. The imposition theory of the impersonalist monist is false as far as the statements of the Gita are concerned. It is clear herein that the Supreme Absolute Truth, Lord Krishna, has both form and personality. Avyaktam vyaktim apanam manyante mam abudhayah param bhavam ajananto mam avyayam anuttamam. An intelligent man who do not know me perfectly think that I, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, was impersonal before and have now assumed this personality. Due to their small knowledge, they do not know my higher nature, which is imperishable and supreme. As I mentioned, the section which starts here describes impersonalists. The seventh chapter is the middle, it belongs to the middle six chapters of Bhagavad Gita, which describe the real knowledge about bhakti. And this is the content of Bhagavad Gita. First six chapters deal with karma, basically, our activities. The last six chapters with jnana, or knowledge, but bhakti is described in the middle six chapters, from chapter 7 to 12. And this is the first chapter. And in this chapter, Krishna introduces himself, basically. So first, verse 1 to 3 of this chapter, Krishna says that to know Krishna, really, you have to hear from him about himself. There is no other source of knowledge about Krishna. Only he can reveal himself, because in any other way, there is no other way to know him. Then the verses 4 to 14, Krishna says that he is the source of all the spiritual and material energies. Okay, so he is the source of everything, in other words. And it's not only that he is the controller of these energies. Then the next section is verses 15 to 19, and Krishna says that there are two classes of people, pious and impious. So those who perform pious activities and those who perform sinful activities. Then verses 20 to 23, as I mentioned before, Krishna describes demigods worshippers. Then 24-28 describes impersonalists. And then 29 to 30 describes yoga mishra bhakta, means devotee who performs bhakti but still have, this devotee has some attachment to activities, means karma or jnana. So mishra means mixed. So he's not pure bhakta, but his activities are mixed. So this chapter is entitled Knowledge of the Absolute. And from the verse 24, we learn from Krishna that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and that he is a person. And this sounds quite obvious and quite natural, but we may ask, if Krishna is the person and is the source of everything and is everywhere, he says that he's everywhere, so why we cannot see him? Why we cannot see this person here? And this is explained in the purport by Prabhupada, that Prabhupada refers to the verse in Srimad Bhagavatam where the verse says that those who have the knowledge, the truth, tattva vidash, so those who know this truth, they know that Krishna can be known in three features: brahmeti, paramameti, bhagavan iti shabdyate, means that he can be known first through his impersonal feature or Brahman, through his energies, then in a localized form as the Paramatma, and then as Bhagavan. So, practically speaking, we cannot see Krishna in a person as long as we don't have the proper vision. And this vision is called Chastra Chakshush or Jnana Chakshush, because without proper vision, proper eyes, the eyes of the scriptures, whatever we see by material eyes is just the energy of Krishna. And only by spiritual vision we can see his spiritual form, because he doesn't have the material form, only the spiritual form. So, even if we are not aware of the fact that everything is Krishna and this what we see is his material energy, so nevertheless we see him because this energy of Krishna is called material energy. Means that this material energy has no qualities, basically qualities. It's dead. It's like our body. Our body is just a composition of the muscles, bones, blood, and water. Basically, 70% is water. So these are basic elements, and they don't have any any life itself. Only when soul enters into body, then the body moves and shows some signs of life. Okay, and then we recognize that the body without soul is dead, no attraction, nobody has attraction to the dead body. And when the soul is in the body, then the body is attractive. And what attracts us in the body, in fact, it's not the body itself, the matter, but the soul inside. So the same with the whatever we see, the material nature, whatever attracts us in the material nature, it's Krishna. It's not the matter itself. Okay, because the matter is dead, has no qualities, I mentioned. So, for example, we can see something beautiful. Okay, let's look at the watch. Someone may be attracted to this watch, but to what feature of this watch we may be attracted? Design means what? The shape. The round shape. So this shape, this roundness, it's a quality, okay? It's not the watch. Okay, it's a quality of the watch. For example, it shines, okay? When there is some light, it shines here. Your watch shines better. But oh yeah, and that even better. So this shining, it's a quality. So it's not quality of a watch, but quality of, it's not a quality of a matter, but it's quality of Krishna. Every quality is Krishna's quality. So Krishna has unlimited qualities. For example, when we look at the wall or at the column which supports the wall. So what quality has the column? Why it supports the wall? Because it's strong, okay? It's strength. So this strength, it's not a quality of a matter, because it's earth. It's just clay or whatever, or wood. But it's this quality of strength is Krishna, because this is Krishna's energy. So the point is that the matter itself has no qualities. It's just matter. It's dead. It has no shape, no form, etc. All the qualities which matter has are the qualities of Krishna, because as we know from Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna enters the material energy first. The material energy is the form of Pradhan, means the just potential form of the matter. And then Krishna enters as in this energy. And this is called Mahat Tattva. And then everything begins to move. And then it is said that Krishna is in every atom. So Krishna is in every atom by his qualities. So that's why the matter has qualities. That's why we are attracted to the beautiful shapes. That we are attracted to the sounds. That's why we are attracted to colors. That's why we are attracted to smells. To different qualities of matter. Because we are, in fact, attracted to Krishna all the time. It's not that we are attracted to the matter, but we are attracted to Krishna, and this attraction, which is natural for the soul, makes us looking for Krishna in the material world, but we are directing. Perhaps we should close the windows, both. Yeah, if you close, it will be better. So we are attracted to different features, different qualities of matter, as this is the natural for the soul to be attracted to Krishna. And as Prabhupada states in the third chapter, 39 verse in the purport, that as, or 37, as, let's look, 337, yes. So when a living entity comes in contact with a material creation, his eternal love for Krishna is transformed into lust in association with the mode of passion. In other words, the sense of love of God becomes transformed into lust, as milk in contact with sour tamarind is transformed into yogurt. So it means that we are looking for the pleasure in the material world, and we are and this pleasure is our original love for Krishna, which was transformed into lust. And because this is our natural state of looking for the pleasure, we, even being in the material world, are still attracted to Krishna, but we cannot recognize him as a person, because we cannot see him, because we have material body, we identify with the material body, material mind, so we identify with all what is material and trying to get some pleasure, to find some pleasure in this material world. So in fact, whatever pleasure we find here, it's Krishna. Krishna in the form of qualities of matter. He says in Bhagavad Gita, I am the taste of water. Okay, there are principles. So he is not only the taste of water, but the taste of water is the most significant of all tastes. Okay, because you cannot mistake the taste of water with something else. Taste of water is pure. Yes, so means that he is also all the other tastes. So whatever we are looking by our sense of taste, so by our tongue, by trying to find new tastes, so we are looking for Krishna. Whatever taste is it, it's Krishna. It's Krishna quality, because Krishna is all this. And then with all the... as he mentions that he is the strength of the strong. Yes, you remember? From the light objects, he is the sun. So he mentions all the qualities he is. So these qualities are present everywhere. So means that everything which attracts us, because we are attracted by quality, basically. Not by just by matter, but the, as I mentioned, by quality of the matter. Okay, so all these qualities, it is Krishna. But because he says, "I am the person," the question is how to see him as a person, even if we cannot see, even if we can only see or experience the qualities. So this is why we have Bhagavad Gita and other scriptures, and that's why it's called the process of seeing or of perceiving Krishna. It's called spiritual science or spiritual knowledge, by which we get the Shastra Chakshush or eyes, by which eyes of Shastra means that by descriptions of Shastra we can perceive Krishna as a person through his qualities. It's like it's indirect perception, but still it's a perception. It's like if you know a person, or Yeah, it's like the mother who sees the shoes of her child. She immediately remembers the child. Okay? Oh, this is my... And she gives the name. So, if someone, by descriptions, heard about qualities of Krishna, different wonderful qualities, different wonderful qualities. So when one hears about these qualities or sees these qualities around, he can immediately connect the quality to Krishna. I can take this. He can immediately connect this quality to Krishna, and then by connecting this quality, he can remember Krishna itself. And this is the process of seeing through the eyes of Shastra. It's like we first, because we cannot perceive Krishna in his form, transcendental form, so we hear descriptions of his pastimes first, of his associates, of his body, how he looks like, that he has the eyes like lotuses, the feet, the blue body, etc., etc. So we don't know this person. It's like I would like you to know my friend, and you don't know my friend. What time are we finishing? But normally 15. Okay. So we finished 20. So if I want to introduce you to my friend and you don't know this friend, so I will describe you how he looks like, how his hair, how his hair look like, and his face, etc., etc. So when you see him, you will recognize him. But unless you see him, you have to rely on my description. And then that's Shastra. We have to rely on the description of Shastra until we be able to meet him. But how? He says that only, and he says this in the first verses, that we can only know him when he reveals himself to us. There is no other way. And one more thing, what Prabhupada or Krishna says here, he says about an intelligent man. It's many times this statement about an intelligent man is repeated in the Srimad Bhagavatam and in Bhagavad Gita. So to understand it correctly, it doesn't mean that someone cannot think or someone has no education or etc. So an intelligent man, according to what Shastra says, is one who cannot see Krishna. Okay, that's, or he in his endeavors or in his knowledge, in his studies, he cannot conclude that, cannot get to the conclusion that Krishna is the person, is the absolute truth. So this person is unintelligent, because intelligence or buddhi in Sanskrit is to understand Krishna and to know him. This is the only use, this is the only and the highest use of the intelligence. If someone doesn't use the intelligence in this purpose, he is called unintelligent. Okay, so we have to finish here. Questions? Okay. Comment, please.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But at the moment I didn't think too much, but after this I was feeling that in fact it's opposite.
Yeah.
He is limited, because if you say Krishna can, God cannot be a person, the way you can be a person,
yeah.
Can be anything.
Yeah, this is simple.
Yes.
See?
But yeah, not, yeah.
So Mayavadi, they contradict themselves. It's not a, not a question. Okay. We. Yes. Ah, you are perplexed. Yeah, Shankaracharya was a personalist. He wasn't a person. His followers and became impersonalist because they didn't, as Prabhupada said, understand his message. So he, the last words of Shankaracharya was Bhaja Govinda Mudha Mate, so worship Govinda, fools. So, and he, you can, if you know Mayavadi, probably you know some Mayavadi, you ask them. Shankaracharya wrote a nice book about Radha Krishna pastimes. It's a fact. If you ask any Mayavadi, they know about this book. It's about Radha Krishna pastimes, but they don't speak about this book because they don't know why he wrote it. He wrote it because he was impersonalist. So his mission was to to get rid of Buddhism in India. So introduce back the Vedas, but he couldn't do this in the way that everyone would immediately accept God as a person, but he has to do this step, just for the small step. First, they had to accept the Vedas and impersona. First feature or first way of knowing God and his impersonal feature. But basically, he was a personalist. But his followers made his let's say, deviated. They didn't understand the mission. Okay, they thought that this impersonal interpretation is all in all, that this is the only way of interpretation of the philosophy of the Vedas. But no, it's not. It was just one part. Is it clear? Yes. No, they accept the form, but just for the practical purpose. They want to use this form for practice, but they consider the form that this form is Maya. It's not real, but they worship because they want to achieve certain benefits. So this is contradiction also. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he says about this. Yeah, because Mayavadis are very intelligent, so they are logicians. They are trained in scriptures and in finding the the words jugglery, Prabhupada was saying. So the point is that when you use intelligence, it's very clear what Krishna says. But when you, and intelligence is above the mind. But when you convince the mind will follow whatever you tell him. So it's like that's why the material world is bewildering us, because we follow the mind, not the intelligence. Intelligence says don't do this, but the mind goes for this. So that's the, with the Mayavadi interpretation and logic. The intelligence says, no, it's not like that. Krishna is the person, etc. But the world jugglery is so appealing that the mind goes immediately into this speculation and likes the arguments. And if mind likes the arguments, the intelligence is lost. Okay, we have to finish because the whole team is here. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.